You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands. We are your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
We are proud to be members of the Broadway Podcast Network. If you haven't checked out Broadway Podcast Network, make sure you follow them on Instagram and check out bpn.fm/husbands. We're very, very proud and excited to have guests today. They call themselves the Crafty Lumberjacks. They are Andrew and Dennis. Hi, welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here.
I'm such a fan, especially of your Halloween stuff. I love Halloween. So when you do your Halloween tree and your stuff, your content is just beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I mean, we love Halloween too. So
it's definitely our favorite.
Yes.
You do a great job. And I feel like we were neighbors at some point. How long have you been in Astoria?
Yeah, we've been in Astoria almost 10 years now, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the same apartment.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Because we lived in Astoria when we first started dating.
How long ago did we leave? Yeah, about...
probably 10 years ago. Yeah, somewhere around that time.
That's crazy. Cool. Yeah, 10 years ago. Wow. Yeah, so we just missed each other.
I know, right? We can't believe we're still here. Every day we're like, really? We're still here?
I know. How?
But there's something about Astoria that's so wonderful.
Yeah, you know? It's so charming.
Astoria is great. Yeah. And you've been there, and you're there through quarantine. You've been isolated there.
Yes, yeah, we have been.
Not so great.
Yeah, not so great. Because that's the one thing we love about our neighborhood is our neighborhood. And unfortunately, we cannot take advantage of it. Yeah. You know, yeah. So it's been really tough.
During quarantine, have you guys been together more than usual?
You know, a little bit, but actually not too much. We work together and we're home a lot. So not too much has changed. It's just those moments where we would love to just kind of like get out of the house away from each other.
Yep.
That we just can't. But, you know, we're working through it.
Well, I don't know the story, but how did you guys meet?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, we were on the tour. We're actors as well. We met on the non-union tour of Fiddler on the Roof. Mm-hmm. We did that tour for 2 years. Andrew was Muttle the Tailor, and I was Mark the Innkeeper in the ensemble. And it's the first day of rehearsal, I told him I liked his shoes. And from then on, we kind of hit it off. We started hanging out, grabbing lunch together. On the road, we developed a very fast friendship. And then we went away for Christmas break. And we kind of realized that we were missing each other, texting each other constantly. And then that January was kind of when we first started to kind of dabble beyond the friendship zone into the showmance zone, as you would. And then kind of our relationship kept evolving and developing from there. And then we started our blog on the road, essentially, and we came up with Crafty Lumberjacks because we had a mutual love of the holidays and crafting and making. And
we had these long, long beards.
Yes,
so
and we just wore kind flannel.
Seemed, yeah, we always wore flannel.
So that's kind of
so how... So that was why Lumberjacks.
Yes, that's kind of how the name became what it is.
Yeah, it actually started also because this very drunk man kept catcalling us on the way to the theater, and I forget where we were. Oh, Vancouver.
Yeah.
And he would just be like, Lumberjacks, Lumberjacks.
And we happened to see him, like it was like a 5-show weekend or something like that. And we happened to see him every time we left the theater, every time we went back to the theater, he'd be like, Lumberjacks, Lumberjacks. And we're like, what the hell, man? You know, so then kind of we remember that moment when we were trying to think of our blog. We were like, Crafty Couple, Crafty Boys, whatever. And then for whatever reason, Crafty Lumberjacks just stuck.
I mean, we did not think it would still be with us like this long.
Yes, I know. And now people are so confused. They're like, are you lumberjacks? Are you crap? What do you do? And we're like, oh my gosh, here's the story. You know, we have to tell the story over and over. And then they finally just get that it's just a fun little name.
Do you feel pressure to wear flannel all the time because of it?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, actually. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it's been weighing up. Yeah,
like, how does that pressure your look? I mean, I feel like you might want to wear, like, whatever you're picking, and then you're like, oh, but this doesn't quite fit with what people think. Do you have that dilemma?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I guess, luckily, I feel like plaid and flannel are always in style somehow.
Yes, we have no other options.
But we do. We're like, okay, we want to, like, up our style game. That's, like, something that's, like, on our list. And it's like, okay, how do we evolve? But, you know, we're more still flannel. Just wearing, like, flannel shirts.
Yeah.
But how did you, well, first off, what year was that tour? When was that?
That was
2010 through 2012.
And then, how did you get from, so you started the blog first, and the blog evolved into the social media and the video content?
Yes. Yeah. It started, we kind of like had our little blog and we were kind of just doing it for fun. We never thought that it could present itself as a career. And then about 4 years in, or 4 years ago, I'm bad with years and numbers.
Yeah, you
know. I know. I'm like, how many? What year is it? But we were actually picked up through HGTV through our Instagram feed. Some girl started following us. She was like, "Oh, I like these guys a lot. They put out good content. Let's hire them on a trial basis." We did 5 Halloween videos and 5 Christmas videos for them, and then that January they offered us a contract, and we're going on our 4th year working with HGTV.
Yeah, and it's really crazy. And I wish we had kind of thought of, when we started the blog, to really focus it as a career. We were just really, I don't even know why we were doing it. We were just like having fun with it.
Yeah.
But like looking back, it's like, oh gosh, I wish we would have started a YouTube channel. I wish we would have hired like someone to work on our website. You know, hindsight's always.
Because we were just learning as we went. You know, we're like, oh yeah, Blogspot, sure, put up 3 pictures. You know, we didn't know anything about SEO and search engines and all this other crazy stuff.
I still don't know.
We still don't get it, honestly. But, you know, but it's worked out, and we're so lucky because we never thought this could be our livelihood, and it is now.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And especially, you must feel so proud to have built this from scratch. What I'm so curious, what happened to acting? Are you still auditioning? Are you still performing when you can?
Yeah.
I mean, we left the tour. We were both lucky enough to get our cards and we were working. But when we started working with HGTV, it took out so much time, where we'd go to auditions and be like, okay, can we finagle working this audition plus, working with HGTV? So acting is definitely still a passion of ours, and it's something we definitely want to pursue. It's just trying to figure out how to balance both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Isn't, but a lot always?
Of what we do on-camera stuff, and we do like segments on TV, and also we do like the video content. We kind of feel like it's very similar to theater. And if we didn't have our theater background, we'd probably be totally lost. But, you know, we're able to just pull it together and get things done, because as you both know, as actors, sometimes that's just how you have to roll and get the job done. You know, you just got to do it, make it happen. So we're very grateful for our theater background too, in a sense.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, supports us in this life, you know.
In your relationship, is there one person, like, I just, because we know how it is in our relationship, like,
how is it?
What are you about to say? No, is there one person who's like, I just want to craft. I don't necessarily want to do it for social media. I don't care about the public attention. Like, and then there's one person like, no, we'll create this and we'll make this into a thing. You're like, okay, fine. And then all of a sudden, oh, okay, this is going really well. I guess we'll continue to do this. Did that happen to you guys?
Yeah.
Who is it? Who's the person who's just a little more like, let's do this on social media or whatever?
Dennis.
Yeah, I'm the one that's like, we have to follow through. We have to get things done. Come on, we got to get on to the next gig, the next job. Yeah. And Andrew kind of likes to take his time. You know, and I'm like, we don't have time to take our time. We have to keep moving on.
Yeah,
you know?
I want to like decorate really slowly and just like look at the work and like feel like I'm having this like artistic moment. And Dennis is like, we don't have time for that.
No, I need to
move on. But there is so much pressure now to have content in so many different areas where it And it's not a bad thing, but it's rare that we craft for our own enjoyment in a way. Like we'll try to, we'll definitely have fun doing it, especially like around Halloween. Like that always feels like that's for us. But there is this pressure to like, you know, take pictures, try to document it somehow, which always is harder than actually just creating the craft.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely the driving force. Like if it weren't for him, I'd probably, I don't know, there'd be like no crafts up, but our
What about you two?
What would you say, Steven?
I would say if Brett didn't crack the whip, we definitely wouldn't get things done.
I'm definitely the dentist.
I think we should do it again. I don't really like it. Let's wait until tomorrow to do it again. I feel like we would do it better later. He's like, no, that's it. We're using it. And I'm like, I don't like it. He's like, you're never going to like it. And I'm like,
I can relate to that. It's hard being us.
So more on a personal level, who said I love you first?
Oh gosh, I don't even know. I think because we started as friends, like we kind of had like an instant bond anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever added that much weight to those words. Because you know, it was,
I think we were saying it before we were even an item.
You know how you create those strong bonds in theater. It's like, I love you, you know? So I think it was kind of like that just always.
Yeah, I don't really have a memory of like the first time we said it.
Do you think because you were friends, such good friends before, do you think that that's why your relationship has lasted for so long and is so good and so great?
Probably.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think that's... it's so rare nowadays to, especially in the gay community, to find these relationships, not on apps or online, which I mean, is totally great. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we've all found relationships through that, but to find something like a little more organic I feel pretty lucky about that. I do think a lot of it stems from that.
Yeah.
You know, we struggled as friends on the road at times. And like, I feel like we were able to patch that up and like, we bring that with us today.
So let's talk a little bit about being LGBT and being like, and especially LGBT and HGTV, right? There's not a lot of visibility, let's be honest, on HGTV for LGBT people. And so,
which is interesting, right?
At least not openly, right? There's people who clearly are openly gay, but they don't discuss it on the show. Is that something that, I mean, I'm definitely really happy to see you guys out there and when I do see people that are on there, but what is there something they have to address? You feel like you have to protect the audience, or do they ever address that with you guys?
No, I think on the digital level, it's very open and it's fine. Like they've never addressed it with us. We don't feel like we can't, you know, be who we are on camera, which is really great. We actually don't have cable, so we don't really watch a lot of HGTV. Yes. Unless we're on vacation, we'll just zone and put it on.
Yeah.
But there really is a lack of representation on TV for sure, which, I mean, of course, we would love to tap into. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've been really great with us, and we've never had an issue with that at all.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
That's great.
So you're also both vegan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost 4 years, 3 years.
I can't even remember. Yeah. Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
Was that Dennis like making you be vegan? And
no, Andrew made me vegan because I was someone that needed like a bacon, egg and cheese with cold cut sandwich for lunch, then a bacon cheeseburger for dinner. Like I was eating so poorly. And then his sister actually went vegan first, and she was kind of the pusher, not a pusher, but leading by example. And Andrew used to have very bad skin. Do you mind me telling? So he actually gave up dairy for a New Year's resolution in January.
Yeah.
And his skin cleared up right away about 3 weeks later. And then my dad actually passed away in February, and we knew we wanted to make a lifestyle change, but we weren't willing to work out. We didn't want to exercise.
So, we still don't.
Yes. So for whatever reason, like those couple of months, the conversation turned to, you know, starting to eat healthy and go vegan was our answer to that. So July 4th was the last time we ate meat. We had hot dogs, sausage, burgers, chicken wings, all the stuff. And then July 5th, cold turkey, we stopped eating meat and dairy.
Yeah.
That is so impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were just ready. We felt just ready.
Yeah. I always feel like there was just like a moment, like we watched documentaries. We kind of like read up to see like what it was. And then after we read like enough, we just like, you know, there was something about eating everything that just didn't feel like right to us. And then it was easier to make that switch. And I mean, you know, I'll go to a wedding and I'll have like a little piece of cake because I love cake and I won't feel guilty about it. I think that's like the one thing my sister brought to it. It was, you know, don't allow yourself to feel guilty. If you want to like cut out everything but like
eggs
butter
or something, yeah, like, then that's okay. You're doing great.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't like, really matter.
If you need to have that, and eventually it usually turns towards going all the way, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. That's very inspiring. Very inspiring.
So can you talk a little bit about first individually your journey with crafting, and then I want to hear your first craft experience together, and what was that like?
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, my mom was actually a crafter when I was growing up. She would make things and sell them at like craft markets for the holidays, seasonally.
Where'd you grow up?
Long Island.
Okay.
So I kind of, when I was younger, I was already kind of dabbling in crafting because I would be her little assistant. I would help her set up the booth, help her make sales. And then eventually I started making my own things to sell for like kids. Like I made like a ribbon dancer and like ghosts on a stick for Halloween and stuff. And of course I would always kind of decorate my house, put up the little cutouts in the window, decorate the tree for Christmas. So I've always kind of had a crafting bug inside me. And Andrew?
I mean, it's kind of similar. I grew up in Maryland and just crafting, I don't know, by myself. That sounded really sad. It wasn't that sad. But, you know, when you're not good at sports, there's, you know, you have very few options. So it was like theater and crafting, but I love to decorate. So I just remember being so excited to decorate.
And his mom is also, she's a knitter. Yeah. So he's been exposed to it his whole life.
Yeah.
And kind of our first crafting experience together was actually on the road. We, I think it was Valentine's Day.
It was Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we made like Valentine's for the entire cast and crew. And we just kind of, you know, after a show one night, drinking, you know, and like I think over 80 Valentines for everybody in the company. And that's kind of when the other cast members were like, you guys should have a blog, too, you know. And we were like, blog, what's that? We don't, you know, this is 10 years ago. We didn't know what blogging was. and then that was kind of it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And that's, go ahead.
If for anyone who's listening that doesn't know what crafting is, how would you explain it?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I was going to say, I think it's just working with your hands, creating something from scratch, kind of getting into a mindless zone, or kind of taking something that you have in your mind and putting it on the page, on the paper, you know, just kind of working with your hands.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many different forms of crafting, whether it's, you know, like collage with like magazines to working with clay,
knitting,
being artistic anything, I feel like it's all like hand in hand. I feel like there's so many things you can do.
Do you walk into Michael's and Astoria and they're like, what's up, guy? Like, they know you firsthand.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the best thing about living here is that we live like walking distance from Michael's. So that's like it's like the best thing. It's like,
I used to walk. Yeah. I used to walk to that Michael's from when we lived in Astoria, because that was, it's like, it was great. There was like the Pizza Hut right there and the Michael's. Yeah.
That pizza's gone.
Yeah, the pizza. Oh,
wait, is the Wendy's still there? Wasn't there a Wendy's there too?
Or there's a McDonald's close by.
Oh, yeah. Anyways.
Staples. There's like a Boston Market, Subway.
Home Depot.
It's a nice little area.
It is. Yeah, but we've actually gotten to know the staff, which is like the funniest
part. Yeah, so we'll walk in, we're like, hey, Chris, how are you? How was the holiday? You know. And then there's this one girl, Jackie, who always has to like show us all the new things. And we're like, we got to get out of here, lady. Come on. And she's like, yeah. I got to show you this. I got to show you. We just got this. And we're like, oh my gosh.
I called her Sandy for like 6 months.
And I'm like, that's not her name.
When I think I know somebody's name, I feel like I really want to say it a lot. So I'd be like, hey, Sandy. You know, it's just like, oh God. Dennis is like, what?
I'm like, her name is Jackie.
I do the same. I do the same thing. And I have had several experiences like that in my life where I've called somebody the wrong name.
Yes. I have a girl I went to college with.
Oh no. And
I think Steven's probably met her now at this point, like 10 times.
Oh God.
And after every time we meet, he goes, now who is that?
Oh no, that's Andrew.
But to be fair, Brett has like 4 or 5 really close college friends who I am very close friends with now. And then every once in a while,
you don't have to be defensive. It's
every once in a while, we will go to this get together and like all of them will be there. And like, there'll be this girl and I will have a conversation with her and I will walk away and I'm like, who was that? Like, I know her. I know I've met her, but I have no idea who that is. And it happened again recently on a Zoom call, like his college reunited. And I was like, who is that one girl? He was like, Steven.
We're the same people. Oh my gosh. That happens to me all the time. I think we're just expected to know too many people at this point. You know?
Especially now too, because this happens sometimes too, where people come to us and they act like they know us and we've never met them because of social media and all that too.
Yeah.
And then you feel horrible after.
Right. You're like, how do I know them? You're like, I don't. Yeah. I've never met them.
So for people who are listening, who, you know, like they dabble in maybe like making decorations for a holiday or trying to come up with like an original gift to give their grandmother or someone, and they just don't have like the confidence or they don't think they have like the crafty lumberjack touch. What is like one or two tips you would tell them? You know, what was one, two tips you would give them?
Like trust your instinct. Okay. Go for it. You know, just do what you think is right and go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think just going for it is a great thing. It's, you know, you don't have to be the best crafter, but I think anything that's handmade will be appreciated.
Yes.
And
I also think it's like, there's so much resource. There's so much stuff that you can look up on Instagram, Pinterest, Google, you know, like just look it up and copy it, make it your own.
Yeah. As crafters, it's like, we really love when somebody like does like the exact thing we do. We're not expecting people to like take our idea and make it their own. Like, that we're making something that we're hoping other people will like really do. And we're hoping we're explaining it in a way where people can then create it, even if they are like terrible at crafting. But I do think like people really do appreciate handmade things. So like, even if you're worried about that, don't put too much pressure on it. Just make it with love and that will come across.
Yes. Aww, that's so sweet. So wait, so this is sort of like a silly question, but if you were a craft, what craft would you be and why?
Oh gosh.
I know it's a broad.
I would probably be like a craft that's like half, like done halfway and then like never finished, because that's like Dennis's like biggest like pet peeve about me is like, I will start something and be like, I don't know how to finish it. And then I'll just like put it and like never finish it. So I would probably be like an unfinished craft.
And I would be something for my cat. I love my cat so much. I just celebrated my birthday and Andrew's like, what do you want? I'm like, I want a cat tower for our cat. That's all I wanted.
I'd
probably be like a craft that has to do with animals of some sort.
Your birthday was yesterday, right?
Yeah. Yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm the author.
We crafted something. No, we didn't.
Oh my God.
I wish. I am such a crafty person, and it's one of those things that like I miss in my life. I don't do it enough.
Yeah.
And it's certainly challenging right now because like what I would do is just go to Michael's and just look around and pick some stuff up and then put something together. So how are you guys getting through this time with isolation and your itch to craft?
Well, again, now that it's like, it's our job, so we have to craft, which again, we're so grateful for because we get paid to craft basically to be creative. So we're getting through, you know?
Yeah. I would say I really do miss like, just like window shopping that we really like to do that. I feel like we get so much inspiration just by going out and seeing things. And for some reason, we really didn't go to Michael's early this year, so we've like barely been.
Yeah, we haven't been
out, so it feels very weird. But we literally live amongst so much craft supplies that it is kind of forcing us to use what we have, which is a good thing.
Which is because, great.
You know, we
have the urge to purge, so we're just, you know, using what we have and getting crafty.
Well, and that's my other question: is like in New York City, space is limited, right? Apartments are small. So do you have a craft room? Are you able to do that in Astoria? So no. How do you manage your surplus?
Oh gosh.
Well, you know, it's hidden. It's all under beds and it's in closets. We broke down and we got a storage unit.
Yeah. We also store a lot of stuff at my mom's house because I'm only like 40 miles outside of Astoria, so she's become like mom storage, has a lot of our like holiday decor. We have like 7 Christmas trees now, so they're all like in my mom's basement.
Yeah, it's hard though, and we like to keep a lot of stuff because we're like, well, we'll never know when we need to use it. Now it's like, oh my God, actually we really do need to hold on to these things. We don't know how long we're gonna be here.
That's nice that you have that access to that, because that's the one thing I think about is like, I can't go buy a bunch of stuff because I got nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's nowhere. A good thing though, too.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Totally. Well, okay, my last question, and then we'll go into our next segment, is where do you guys find your inspiration for creating things?
I mean, we kind of find it everywhere. Living in New York, it's really easy to find inspiration, you know, just like walking around.
We're inspired by like a lot of our Instagram followers and just Instagram and social media in general. Right. We used to travel a lot and we would get inspired by where we were. We're also, because I'm sure you guys too, because you're creative people, you're always kind of thinking, you know, you're always brainstorming essentially. So we'll be thinking about a certain holiday or a certain idea, and just kind of brainstorming, you know, off of that.
Yeah. It's always like just, the hard part is always remembering all those great ideas, like when it comes time to actually doing things.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Well, where do you guys see the Crafty Lumberjacks going? What do you hope to see happen?
Oh my gosh. It's hard because, again, this is like a life that's presented itself to us, which we weren't expecting. So, but now that it has been presented, we think, you know, the top. We think the moon, you know, we want our own show. We want a reoccurring segment on shows. We want to have our own craft line. We essentially, the goal is to get other people to do the work for us. That's the main goal. So we don't have to do the work, but can still come up with the ideas, you know, and the concepts, but have someone else execute it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great. Yeah. And I, of course, like going back to theater, having that, you know, being able to kind of do both at the same time would be a dream. Yeah.
Well, we can't wait to work with you. That'll be
so cool. We got to do
We can do a show right here. Well, I guess we would need a woman. Right.
Well,
two of them. We'll do it in drag.
Do it in drag.
Yes.
All right. Well, now we're going to go into a segment that we call Spotlight on Love.
All right. So the question comes from, are you going to say who?
I'm not. I was going to keep her anonymous.
Well, we can just say her first name.
It's from a woman named Jennifer. She wrote us on Instagram, and she wrote, "Okay, here's the thing. I am 46, never married, have had a couple relationships, but nothing that lasted. Anyways, I recently started chatting on Facebook Messenger with a guy, and I'm kind of in the feeling it out stage where I don't want to come off too needy or pushy, but still want to seem interested to gauge if he's interested or not. So what are some things I could ask or a way I can approach this that won't seem like I'm asking too much, but at the same time trying to figure out if he is interested or not?"
Oh gosh.
That, you take this.
You both have to answer.
I don't know. I kind of sometimes think that like skirting the issue is not always the way to go. I think like sometimes just being kind of blunt about your feelings and just, you know, I think it's like we're all adults and, you know, it's like, well, hey, I kind of am feeling this for you right now. I don't know. Maybe it's the pandemic. Maybe it's, you know, the faraway love scenario. I don't know. But like, are you feeling any of this? If not, like, cool. We can still like just chat as friends. Just wanted to put that out there before, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for a while we were kind of living on the theory or idea of like nothing to lose, everything to gain.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's like, why not just take the leap, go for it, put it out there. But also you have to know, like, you can't take it too personal. You know, like you have to just be able to get the truth bomb and kind of move on.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not the truth you're looking for.
Yeah. And you shouldn't take it personal because they only know like one side of you, like through the internet right now. And that's not the whole you, just as you don't know like the whole them. So however that person might be feeling, if it's not the way you want it to, it's, you really shouldn't take it personal because, you know.
I take it.
Well, I take everything personal, but it's easier said than done.
Could we can we watch you guys act it out? Like,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Like maybe you're like crafting, it's Valentine's, you're like crafting, you're a little drunk. And
Andrew,
you have feelings for Dennis.
You have feelings for Dennis, and Dennis is like, he's like busy with his Valentine craft.
Okay. Oh, okay. wait, am I on a computer or is he right next to me?
He's like down the table. He's like down the line, like the table, and you're like trying to get his attention, trying to talk to him.
Like, hey, do you like the color red?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's Valentine's Day. Red, you know?
Well, you didn't have to be that mean.
I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest.
I don't know. Then I get butthurt and then I walk away.
Is bad.
I don't know.
We're gonna get upset about this.
I know. We're gonna end this and be like,
we're gonna be like, I can't believe you said that.
I love you.
I can't believe you said that. I love you.
Oh my god, you guys are hilarious.
You guys are amazing. Yeah.
I want to craft with you so bad. I wanna hang out in Astoria so bad. Like, we gotta hang out.
I can't. Back.
Once this is over, please come over. Please.
We will. And I also see you have a World's Fair poster behind you.
Oh yes. It's an old t-shirt that we cut up. Yeah.
Oh, remember, so cool. I remember when you made that post.
Yes.
That's right. Because are you both Disney nerds or just one of you?
Yes, we love Disney. We actually went to Disney right before coronavirus.
We did too.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh wait, I think we knew that, right? Or we were there like overlapped, or we were there at the same time or something.
We were there like
the week before we were there.
Okay, yes.
We were there like early February.
Okay, it's the best.
Well, I know, we were so glad that we got there before this all happened. Because
I know.
We were looking for a Disney trip.
I'm already sad that we're not there. You know, we can't afford it. I would live in Florida just to be close to Disney or California. I actually like Disneyland better.
I like Disneyland better too. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Because it's the OG, you know? It's like, there's so much history.
I know, everything's like close to each other.
It's more condensed.
Like, yeah.
it's like manageable. You know, you can walk in, get your churro, get your corn dog.
Yes. Yes.
You know, ride the Matterhorn.
we just love Disney so much.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back. But I also love, I mean, since you're from Long Island and you live in Queens, I love the side of the New York World's Fair. I'd love to go over to the U.S.
Yeah,
Open.
Yeah,
I know. I wish they would do something kind of like, I don't know, reopen it with, I don't know.
Yeah. Some sort of tribute, something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great park.
It is.
What we could do is we could craft something that's like replica, like miniature replicas of attractions or something.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
That would be
cool. Oh my gosh.
I'm into it.
All the money. All the money.
Well, where can people find you guys online?
Oh, anywhere, Crafty Lumberjacks.
Yeah, we have our blog, craftylumberjacks.com, Instagram, Crafty Lumberjacks, Facebook, Crafty Lumberjacks, Twitter, Pinterest. We're on TikTok now, which I know you guys taking off. We're following.
I know.
You guys are killing it.
Killing it.
I feel like you got to do all of the things now.
Well, I think maybe that might be our thing. Maybe we need to do some sort of duet on TikTok.
Yes. Ooh. We're down.
Because you were dancing your butts off on one of those videos.
Oh my gosh. Every now and then we get some liquid courage and we
exercise once a year.
Once a year. We dance.
For TikTok. And TikTok made you do it.
Yes.
But seriously, we've had a hard time. Like, we were really into the TikTok for a minute, and then the last few weeks we have not been that motivated for the TikTok. We got to get back into it.
Yeah. We've been trying to like do other things.
Yeah.
And it will always be there. It's not going anywhere. So you can jump right back into it when you want to.
Well, so what crafts, let me ask you one more question. What crafts do you think people should make right now in quarantine? What's like the best thing to get people's spirits up?
I mean, tie dye is huge right now, either bleach dyeing or tie dyeing. We actually just tie dyed our shower curtain. And I think anything that brings you joy, you know, like we don't have a lot of plants or color in our apartment. So we've been making a lot of fake plants lately, adding some pops of color here and there.
Yeah. We haven't started this, but I think like, it sounds weird, but Christmas isn't that far ahead. And every time like the holiday season comes, we're like, oh, I wish we would have had time to like make batch gifts for people or actually do Christmas cards. Like, well, you can take this time and kind of prep ahead and do that. Yes,
and then you'll be ready to go.
I think we all need a little Christmas in our life right now.
And what do you think people could do right now to keep theater alive while theater's quiet?
Oh my gosh. I think just support. Kind of keep watching. A lot of these programs are releasing like 1 week. You know, Phantom of the Opera, we saw Frankenstein, the Benedict Cumberbatch production the other day, which was incredible. And just support your local theaters. Like, I'm from Long Island, which has a huge theater scene. There's a lot of theaters out there. It's like, donate, support their live shows. You know, send them a little bit of money, a little bit of cash, and kind of just keep it going, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It's tough.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think?
Yeah, what like do you think?
We need your advice.
I would say the same thing. I would say support your local theaters. Like if you're not in New York City, like, and you can't get to Broadway, like your regional theaters are hurting, like the Lord regional theaters and the,
and if you can't support them financially, you know, reach out to them and see what you can do, you know, like whether that's volunteering some way to do something for them that you have a skill that they need somebody to do that for, you know.
I think bringing attention to organizations like Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and Actors Fund, and the Broadway Podcast Network is doing some really cool things as well. But I think that, you know, I was just thinking about crafting. I'm like, you could take old playbills and craft something fun and just remind yourself of those moments that you got to experience those shows. And it'll be back.
It like breaks our heart. It breaks our heart. Because we're huge. We, you know, even though we stopped acting, we still would go see all the shows, support. And the last show we saw actually, which seems kind of appropriate, is Come From Away. We're so glad that that was the last show we got to see before all this happened. But at the same time, it just breaks our heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it'll be back.
Oh, I am a member of the Actors Fund. I just want to say I've been supporting them for years. They actually helped me with my teeth get some dental work done. So since Crafty Lumberjacks took off, I've been kind of giving a little back here and there. I'm a yearly member, and I always slide them a little something. I also think it's also important to just share, other people's, you know, that's the easiest thing you can do is just share a theater, share your friends that are trying to do their own gig, either their own podcast, their craft blog, whatever. Just by sharing and drawing more attention to it will bring other people in. And I think that's the easiest thing that people can do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Amen. Share. Well, thank you for sharing yourselves with us today.
I love that.
I feel like we could be chatting for hours.
I know.
All we need is a beer with drinks in our hands.
Yeah. Let's FaceTime anytime. We'll make it happen. I'm so glad to finally meet you guys.
We are so glad too. Thank you for setting this up. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Make sure you guys go follow Crafty Lumberjacks. And don't forget to
love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.